this probably won't shock you, but Ohio is big in electricity. We produce a lot and consume a lot, and it's in our best interest to do both efficiently. Today's guests are going to help us out. Eric Romig with Ohio State University, Jim Miller with AEP, and Farm Bureau's Dale Arnold are in today to talk about what's going on in electric generation and usage and how we might all be able to save some money. We're glad you're with us today for Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
So we want to start today with a few statistics about electricity in the Buckeye State. Ohioans rank 22nd in the nation in terms of overall energy consumption, but we're 27th in terms of spending per capita. We are 12th in energy production, including 12th for generating electricity. 58% of our electric comes from burning coal, 24% from natural gas, 14% generated by nuclear. Of our renewable generation, 48% of our electricity comes from wind. Now, those are a lot of numbers, but today we're going to translate that kind of data into something that may be of use to you. And to help us do that, our guests today are Eric Romig. He is an Extension Field Specialist in Energy Development for The Ohio State University. Jim Miller is Consumer Programs Coordinator for American Electric Power, AEP. Dale Arnold, Director of Energy Programs for The Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Glad to have you with us today. And Rebecca, if you can, I think Jim's headphones need a little bit of adjusting, so we'll take care of that, too.
Okay.
We'll give you a chance to get that adjusted. Eric, we'll start a little bit first with you, just some background. I mentioned Ohio State, and you're an extension specialist in this area, but what's Ohio State doing in this space of energy usage and consumption?
Sure, Joe. Yeah, my role with Ohio State University is an extension educator. I work statewide on outreach and education programs. And my primary role, I guess, as extension is to help disseminate the research and the work being done at main campus and our research campuses throughout the state and to consumers throughout Ohio. So we offer a number of educational programs relating to energy that range from home energy efficiency. We do some stuff with Dale with oil and gas and oil gas development, stuff taking place in eastern Ohio. We also do a lot with youth energy education, focusing on energy literacy. And our primary focus, or I guess the program that we're called upon most frequently, is related to energy and agriculture. And so we work with farms on energy efficiency on the farm, and then also alternative generation as well, looking at distributed solar projects with farms and how do you design them and how do you run the numbers to make sure that you're doing a detailed discounted cash flow kind of approach to does this make dollars and cents for your operation as well.
So Jim, now that your headphones are fixed, it seems like a silly question, but what's AEP's role in the electricity space?
Oh, well, thanks, Joe. We've got a pretty broad spectrum of energy efficiency programs. We actually want an opportunity for each of our AEP Ohio customers to participate, you know, in some program or another and to save energy. Obviously, we have some goals to reduce energy consumption in Ohio, but we also want to help our customers save some money and use that, you know, any way they can. But we have residential programs. We have commercial programs. And I guess I would probably direct customers to our AEP Ohio website to see what opportunities are out there.
I got to ask this question. It seems counterintuitive that someone that makes their profits selling electricity wants to help their consumers use less of it. Help me figure that out.
Oh, okay. Well, some of that is if a customer can reduce some kilowatt hours, you know, in energy usage, that's energy that we can use elsewhere, or it's energy that we really don't have to generate. So it reduces some of the generation demands in Ohio, maybe reduces the need to create more generation or build a power plant down the road. So it's a win-win for us, you know, and for the customer. They save money. we would reduce that demand for generation.
Dale, as far as Ohio Farm Bureau is concerned, our members, particularly our farmer members and agribusiness types, many of them sit on both sides of the generation and consumption equation.
You're right, Joe. It's interesting. When you take a look at the energy industry in the 21st century, things are going to be much different. We're going to be talking about energy resilience, energy reliability, on-site generation, working with your utility, working with other consultants and folks to take a look at numbers, creating a toolbox that helps every person individually control their energy costs. That's the focus for a number of things you're seeing regulatory, law-wise, consumer-wise going forward. It's almost like this. If you want to keep your bill down on different things, you are going to have to be more active in making key decisions to be able to do it. And our folks here basically are helping them do that.
I threw out, Jim, a bunch of statistics at the top of the show, but give us a little bit more depth in this area of electricity generation in Ohio. How do we do it? Where do we do it? How much of it do we do?
Well, that's a tough question.
And answer it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and answer it in 30 seconds. No, it's generation isn't really my area of expertise. I focus more on the energy efficiency aspects, of the company. It's difficult for me to speak to generation. I know, we've done coal generation in Ohio. I saw where recently AEP Ohio is beginning a wind farm in Texas. That's AEP at the corporate level. I have a little trouble speaking to generation. I know we're trying to be as efficient as we can at our power plants, and there's some thoughts and reduction of the coal burning. So.
Dale, you've followed this for a long time. We are transitioning to a certain extent from our traditional coal burning electricity generation in the
state.
Yeah,
and you're seeing this rapidly. In the last 10 to 15 years here in Ohio, we've gone from 88% of our electric requirements were coal-fired generation down to the things you've talked about in the 55 to 60% tile range. The things that we're seeing with regard to wind, solar, biomass, nuclear, becoming more diversified, the number of folks that are now numbering in the tens of thousands range who are investing on-site generation, wind, solar, and others to help to control those particular costs are huge. And so you're seeing this whole industry almost overnight change, and the utility is going to change too. It's like instead of being a generation provider in the 20th century, you're now going to be generation and service provider and taking a look at creating the toolbox our friends basically from AP are talking about here. And you're going to be making some decisions on what works for you, how you can control that, and taking a more responsible approach with it.
Eric, you've been nodding your head yes throughout all of that.
I agree with a lot that Dale's mentioned there. And the thing that really kind of catches my attention when you look at the trends is just how rapidly this has all happened. Typically energy transitions are measured in decades, not years. And when you look at the transition we've seen in recent years from coal towards natural gas, the amount of infrastructure that has to go into support that transition is significant. And so, but when you look at the energy mix, I always like to refer back to Daniel Yergin summarizes the world's energy challenges in just under 900 pages. It's a great read if you have a
beach reading.
Yeah, if you have a couple months to go through that. But he mentions how energy mix is really driven by the resource availability, technology, economics, and then the three P's: policy, politics, and public opinion. And so, when you look at the transitions that we've seen in Eastern Ohio, Dale, with the oil and gas development and the infrastructure with the pipelines and this transition that we're seeing is happening at a record pace.
Yeah. Joe, we have a lot of folks, because I tell you, we get calls every day here and at the County Farm Bureaus. I'm thinking about doing on-site generation to help me control some of my costs, or I got this offer basically in the mail from a customer choice program, or this guy down the street's putting this new technology in the milking parlor. Can you help me with regard to that? What do I need to know? Who can I talk to? Who can help me crunch the numbers? Who can I see there with regard to some technology that will work for me? We have a lot of folks basically starting to take a look at, gosh, I need a lot of help. assistance, support, what are the services out there, so I can make an informed decision.
Jim, whether it's farmers or consumers, do you see the same thing from Dale? I mean, first of all, my dad worked for AEP, Ohio Power, for 40-some years, and so I have a little bit more recognition of what happens in that industry perhaps than others. But for all of my life, you got the electric bill, and, well, it was what right. It was. And are people starting to pay more attention to what they're paying for electricity and how they might be more efficient, save money?
Yeah, absolutely. And our numbers, you know, continue to show that participation has just increased since we launched these programs starting back in 2009. You know, we've been at it for a while now. And based on some of that customer feedback, you know, we're trying to provide what they're looking for as well. You know, whether it's, incentive to buy an Energy Star clothes washer, or whether it's to relamp an industrial building and, you know, going to LEDs, you know, whatever the technology is. So, and I think our recommendation is, when you're evaluating your home or your business, your facility, you should look at anything you can do to reduce your energy requirements, your energy demand. Look at ways you can save energy first. And then if you want to look at generation, you know, you can maybe reduce what you need to generate, you know, to cover some of your consumption. So the first thing would be look for any way you can save energy, and then maybe investigate the renewables.
We're going to spend a little time on that very subject later in the show, getting some specific recommendations that the consumers might follow, and farmers as well. We've talked a lot about, we've mentioned on-farm generation of electricity. Erica, maybe we'll start with you. For the person who has no idea what we're talking about, what's going on? What's that trend?
Yeah, you say what we're talking about. That's the most important thing, first of all, is to kind of distinguish, because there's a number of different ways that farms interact with energy. And so, you know, when you think about some of the wind farm development, you know, there's that leasing activity. And we see that with solar as well, where there's, you know, individuals, developers that are out trying to lease large tracts of ground to develop larger solar projects. When we talk about on-farm solar development or distributed energy, that's not necessarily what we're focusing on. What we're talking about is a farm that is investing in, developing and owning a system that will provide electricity to power their operations. So there's kind of a distinct difference there that we try and separate up front so that folks are on the same page as we think about this. And it's becoming more and more common. So one of the things, there's a recent report from USDA that's estimating nationwide there's 57,000 farms now that are generating their own electricity using some sort of renewable technology to power their operations. So it's more and more common. Part of the reason is the pricing has become more and more competitive. So we're seeing a lot of farms that are concerned about future operating costs, and they look at the trends with these costs and are starting to consider this type of a technology.
57,000 nationwide. Do we have any idea on what the Ohio number is, or an educated guess?
Well, I can say this. When you take a look at folks who are participating in programs, we're seeing 35 to 40 a week.
That is a lot. We're going to learn more about on-farm electricity generation. We're going to learn more about how you can save money on your electric bill when we continue on Town Hall Ohio. We are chatting about electricity with three experts in that arena. Dale Arnold's here with us from the Ohio Farm Bureau staff. Our special guests in the studio: Jim Miller, Consumer Programs Coordinator with AEP; Eric Romick, Extension Field Specialist, Energy Development at The Ohio State University. We started to touch on this, Eric. So 57,000 farms around America. We've got a bunch of them in Ohio that are generating their own electricity on the farm. I assume wind and solar would be the two generation types that are predominant?
Yeah, and actually it's really interesting when you look at the number of certified renewable energy technologies in Ohio by technology type. PV solar is overwhelmingly the most...
PV solar.
Yeah, what's photovoltaic solar.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a tongue twister. So basically solar electric. compared to solar thermal. But it's overwhelmingly the most common technology that we see. Part of it is because it's very price competitive now. So as you look at pricing trends over the last decade, installed cost per DC watt, PV solar is very competitive compared to other technologies.
And what's that look like? Is this panels on top of a barn or a small section of field set up?
It could be both, either or. There are some systems that are ground mount. There are some systems that are rooftop mounted systems as well. So, but yeah, you're talking about the you know panels that you would see mounted out there to directly convert sunlight into electrical current.
And farmers are also considering wind. Now, it's not going to be those giant turbines that we see that are, well, initially they're outside of Bowling Green and now they're popping up everywhere, but it's the same concept?
Same concept. And the thing that we've seen with wind, or I should say that I've seen with wind, both talking with developers or installers, I should say, USDA, talking with some system owners, the smaller scale wind, so wind that would actually generate electricity for your farm, there have been a lot more maintenance issues with those types of technologies compared to PV solar. I'm not sure, Dale, if you're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, it's more moving parts, but Eric's right. And besides wind and solar, we see folks with regard to biomass. We see folks with regard to natural gas fired turbine generation.
I'm going to stop you there. Biomass. How's a farmer generating electricity with biomass? What is biomass?
Well, if you have an anaerobic digester and you have a lot of manure, you're making a lot of methane. Consequently, you use that as a fuel, put it into a genset, you're making electricity. This is not very much new for farmers because remember this, Joe, is that, you know, we need electricity all the time. My family basically had three insurance policies. Those were three generators that came on when there was a power failure. We're showing farmers, instead of using it as an insurance policy, you can run those on a daily basis to help you control your energy costs. It's a new way of looking at some technology they're already using.
Is it strictly a math decision if a farmer looks at the potential?
Some of it is. Eric helps regard to that. But some of it's also technical because you have to have interconnection directly with your utility. Some has to do with different pieces of technology you want to use. Jim has programs and things with AEP to help folks with that. But we're talking here about a mix of things, financial, technical, what you want to do.
And there's different behavioral change motivators as well, right? Some farms may be motivated by the environmental benefits of a project. Most, I would say, are motivated by economics. And so then that gets to, you know, I've heard both Dale and Jim mention something that we focus on at Extension. You know, Jim mentioned, you know, looking at efficiency first, looking at conservation first. We refer to that as the energy pyramid, right? At the bottom's conservation, efficiency in the middle, alternative generation at the top. The reason you start at the bottom is because cost and complexity increases as you go up the pyramid. Dale mentioned informed decision-making, and so that's the other thing that we're there for. We're not there to actually sell you a product or tell you should install solar as much as to help you understand the details of a project and whether it makes sense for your farm.
So we use the term interconnectivity several times, and my layman's understanding is that in order to do this, if you are tied into the broader electric grid, not only can you use energy on your farm, but you can sell it off to AEP or somebody.
Yes, we take what we call net metering agreements. And again, this is through our renewables department, not necessarily energy efficiency. But that team takes contractual agreements where, yeah, if the customer generates more than they use, that can go back through the meter into the AEP lines. So one of the concerns, and I heard you mention too, was there's generation that's say backup for emergency generation. And by the way, we've done a lot over the years to increase our reliability so that emergency generation isn't needed as much. But there's also generation to maybe offset some of the energy usage and energy costs as well. So they're kind of two different things. But you know, safety is such a high priority at AEP Ohio that the interconnection has to be done in the correct way, and we would encourage anyone that's doing generation to make sure that they have that so that there's no backfeed when our linemen are out there repairing wires, you know, for example. So everything has to be done according to the specifics, and there's also a lot of regulations around it as well.
Yeah, Joe, Jim makes a very valid point. It's not, you're not going to be working against your utility. or doing things outside of your utility, you're going to be working more closely with them when you're taking a look at the management. And the technology over the years has made it very, very simple, much more cost effective, much more customer friendly to do those interconnection types of things.
Eric, in just 30 seconds here, most of the folks that you work with in Ohio, are they interconnected or are they just simply standalone generation?
No, batteries are very expensive. So that's still an expensive component of renewable energy systems. So most of the farms we see are interconnected with their utility using a net metering agreement.
Well, we're going to talk more about on-farm generation, how that may save you money as a farmer. And, of course, we're going to talk, too, about some consumer energy saving tips as we continue our conversation with Eric Romick of Ohio State Extension, Jim Miller of EEP, and Dale Arnold of the Ohio Farm Bureau. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking electricity in Ohio with Eric Romick of OSU Extension, Dale Arnold of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Jim Miller is in from AEP. And earlier, Eric pointed out that in terms of improving your energy efficiency, there's a pyramid, and the bottom base, because it's the least expensive, is to begin with conservation. Looking at what you're doing now and how you can easily tweak that to not use as much energy, how's AEP help their customers, whether they're homeowners or business owners or farmers, in that process?
Well, we have a pretty large variety of programs, and for the consumers, I would direct them to our website, and if they're interested in doing something to in their home or around their home, say they want to upgrade their heating cooling system or lighting, there's a lot of good advice there. On the business side, which also applies to agricultural customers, we have energy advisors around the state. We have a couple agricultural energy engineers that can provide advice. Again, the number to call them can be found at the website as well. They would help that customer identify projects within their business or their home that would make sense for them. Where they would make an investment and with the energy savings could get a payback in 1 to 3 years and then would continue to save energy beyond that. We even have some financing programs available now. It's something new that we just started. So we've got everything. We want to have our customers have a great experience with AEP Ohio. So it's all about the customer experience. We also aim to be the trusted energy advisor for our customers. We would like them to come to us if they have questions about how they can save energy and help themselves.
Eric, one of the things I've learned, and mostly from hearing it from Dale, to be perfectly honest, because he knows this stuff inside out, the sophistication that we have attained in looking at specific ways we use energy, right down to what we're powering and when, and then being able to make adjustments to save ultimately on that electric cost. Tell us a little bit about how that's transpiring. It's on farms, but I'm sure businesses are doing the same things.
Yeah, and you know, that's on farms is obviously one of the areas that we focus on a lot. And so as you look at, I guess I almost refer to as energy management, right? So as a business, as a farm, you need to understand this as a cost item. And so without getting too much into the weeds, we have a lot of farms that are now on demand rates. And so they not only pay for kilowatt hours, but they pay for their largest spike of usage in a given period of time. And so part of this energy management is understanding, excuse me, what motors are or electrical loads are coming on and off it at a specific given time. Because if we can move non-essential motor loads to non-peak times, that's ultimately going to benefit the farmer in terms of their electric bill, but also helps the utility out as well. So those are things that we're working with. We have a number of research sites that we're installing some pretty advanced metering equipment in, and we're actually getting energy profiles, peak demand profiles, power factors for all of the critical motor loads. Specifically right now, we're targeting some swine and dairy farm operations to then work with computer electrical engineering to see how do we technologically make this work so that we can make sure we don't have non-essential motor loads coming on during a peak time on that farm.
Dale, it occurs to me that our listeners who don't farm may not recognize just how many different tools, implements on the farm use electricity. It goes far beyond turning on the shop lights.
That's right. Next to labor, energy is our largest single input, and we've been working with our folks for 35, 40 years to help them control that.
Give us some examples of pieces of the mechanics of farming and the pieces that use electricity for example, on a dairy farm or a grain farm.
On a grain farm, gosh, you talk about a grain leg, you talk about the elevators, you talk about the crop processors and conditioners, the dryers, you talk about the lighting. You take a look at the arc welder in the shop to do repair work with. If you have any animals at all, HVAC, the heating you do in the wintertime, the ventilation systems you have, the waterers, the feeding units, the grinders. On a typical farm, there's 147 electric motors of different horsepower capacities. They all use electricity. People call here and say, hey, how do I do this? And I say the best thing to do is find out more about what you're doing. First, do an energy audit. They're going to be able to tell you how you use electricity. They're going to give you a low profile of when and where. And then you're going to be open to a menu of services, some inexpensive, like replacing lighting systems, to more expensive and more cost-worthy things you're going to take a look at. So you can do this on a step-by-step process. It doesn't have to be overnight, but you need to start the journey.
Well, OSU Extension, very helpful in doing much of this assessment. While we've got just a moment here left, Eric, call your county extension agent. Is that the best way to get started, or website?
That's a great starting point. OSU Extension has offices in all 88 counties. So if you have questions, contact your local extension office, and they can certainly reach out to me if it's specific to energy.
We're going to return to our conversation on energy use in Ohio and maybe get into a few energy saving tips for consumers, businesses, and communities. Dale Arnold of Ohio Farm Bureau, Jim Miller of AEP, Eric Romick of OSU Extension. We'll be back in a moment. Note to self, next time Dale's in the studio, do not play Electric Boogie, because that vision of you dancing over there, Dale, I'm not going to get that out of my head for a while.
That's okay.
Dale Arnold is our energy expert on the Ohio Farm Bureau team. Glad to have him back in the studio. Eric Romick is with OSU Extension, works in energy development and is field specialist there. And Jim Miller is consumer programs coordinator for AEP. Dale was talking about the number of electric motors on farms. And Eric, during the break, you were making the point that the technology that goes with those is fascinating.
Yeah. In addition to the number and the size of motors that we see in agriculture, I think most people would be surprised at the technology and the sophistication that's on the farms. A lot of the controlling equipment that's there, it's much like other trends that we've seen, right? Now you can control anything with your iPhone. The farms aren't exempt to that. These technologies are interacting with their personal devices, and we have the ability to control a lot of these motors with the equipment that's on site already.
Okay, and as an example, I saw this technology firsthand recently at a farm in the area where I'm at in Tuscarawas County, where the cows, and it's a dairy farm, actually have sensors, and the farmer is able to use computers and track the production of each cow based on that sensor. Well, this particular farm had an issue because it had old lighting, and the ballast and the fluorescent tubes were interfering with that signal, and it was interfering with the tracking of the milk production. So they are going to do an upgrade to their lighting, go to LED lighting, and it will improve, not only save them energy, but it'll improve their technology and their systems.
One of my favorite stories, a farmer that I saw on his mobile phone, on his smartphone, had hogs, and the building had curtains on the side. The temperature was going. He wasn't on the farm, but he saw the temperature was going up, and from his phone could either increase the ventilation speed or raise the curtains on the side of the barn. That kind of stuff is all over the place.
It is. You know, 15, 20 years ago, we started talking about this, that in a breezeway or on a kitchen counter with a laptop, you can control your energy usage that day. And farmers at that time, you know, our dads and grandpa said, you're crazy. But the sons and the grandsons are going, this is a normal business practice. This is what we do as an effective tool. These are the things that need to go on, and that's what we're seeing now.
So short of smartphone apps and everything, Jim, let's get into a little bit of just some tips. Maybe we'll even start with consumers here. Common things that people can be doing to save on their electricity bill.
Well, some of the more common things are, as they replace equipment in the home, you know, whether it's refrigerators or other appliances, maybe look at the Energy Star label, and we do provide rebates and incentives, but typically it's on Energy Star equipment. They do a lot of research in that equipment, and that's going to be the best product. They've already made the decision to make a purchase, but we'd like them to look at the more efficient model of whatever they happen to be purchasing. And that holds true for HVAC systems, I mean heating and cooling systems, you know, in their homes. Lighting is kind of the easy catch. As LED technology has gotten better and better and cheaper, you can find bulbs for almost any application now. Some people don't like the looks of certain bulbs, but they're becoming more and more commonplace. And for the homeowner, I would probably start with lighting and then their appliances. They also would want to look at shell measures as well, maybe attic insulation, wall insulation. Those are all fixes that they can do and get a pretty quick payback on their energy savings.
So, Eric, as you visit farms around Ohio, what are the easy first steps? What are the most common things that you tell a farmer start here?
Yeah, I think, well, and first of all, farms would fall in the same category as consumers, as Jim talks about, where LED technology has come recently and the pricing there. So, you know, I think lighting is once again a low-hanging fruit. If you're looking at some of our confined animal housing operations, variable frequency drive motors, those types of investments are important as well.
Dale, how willing are guys to listen to this? If they act upon energy information the way they do other information, if you prove to them that there's a positive influence on the bottom line, they pay pretty close attention.
Yes, they do. And I tell you, what the wake-up call basically is when they get a large bill with a large demand charge from the utility and say, what do I need to do to control this? There's a number of things out there. We're entering a new era because I tell you this. In the early days, you had few companies who did this altruistic, would take a look at a lot of technical things. You know your technology's made it when you start seeing used car salesmen in the area or that kind of mentality, which means you need to consumer awareness and consumer education are also part of this.
We'll return to wrap up our conversation about electricity efficiency and how you can benefit from it when we're back with more of Town Hall Ohio.
It's the power that lights the night. It's the power that runs machines. It's the lightning flashing bright. It's the current of our dreams. Electricity.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking electricity with Eric Romick of OSU Extension, Jim Miller of AEP, Dale Arnold of the Ohio Farm Bureau. You mentioned something that I think maybe a listener or two, their ears perked up a little bit earlier, Jim, and that is that AEP offers some incentive programs for their customers, such as
with the replacement of maybe their air conditioning unit. We've got some $200 rebates for that, $350 for heat pumps. If they go to geothermal heat pumps, I think the rebates are around $1,200 for that. So that list can change, you know, as the programs develop over the years and change over the years. But on the business side, we've got some pretty substantial rebates there as well, and they're based on the maybe kilowatt hours reduction per kilowatt hour reduced. And as we talked earlier about some of the technologies, we've got rebates for fans, pumps, motors, you know, all this equipment that that the typical farmer would have. So, again, what we like about our agriculture program this year, a lot of farms can be either residentially metered or commercially metered, and this is a cross-sector program where farmers can participate no matter what type of metering they have. So
incentives from the energy provider. Who else, Eric, gets into to helping here?
Yeah, you know, the most common program that I run into as I work with farmers considering either energy efficiency or renewable energy projects would be the USDA REAP grant. That stands for Rural Energy for America program. It's an outstanding program. Ohio does a great job of using their allocated funding. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a competitive program. That's one of the things I like to make sure we communicate is it's not guaranteed funding. It's a competitive program. But it can offer 25% grant for a project not to exceed $500,000. It also applies for energy efficiency projects. And there's a low interest loan component to that program as well.
I assume rural development at USDA is the administrator of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Dale, what else do you know about?
Well, we work with all these guys. It's interesting. When Jim's talking about the programs, those are all approved by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. They have a track record basically being able to show cost-saving measures and helping folks save on costs. When Eric talks about that, we work basically with the advisory committees with USDA and the REAP grants. Workshops are going on right now in Ohio as we speak. And individual farmers will call here. We refer them to both. Folks like Eric as well as Jim. We also have a number of programs here at Farm Bureau. I guess like this, we're a one-stop shop, which means take a look at our website. We have links to these folks, and you can go basically from there.
Dale made the point a little bit ago that some of the steps that today's farmer are taking, their dads would have said, and their grandpas wouldn't have even grasped it. I know it was that way in my family. What's next? What's the next big thing in energy that has the potential to, I don't know if I want to use the term game changer, but be a big deal?
I think the trend that we're seeing is, you know, with having more of a smart grid, so smart meters that help us to maybe start to look at time of use type price structures. I mean, that's going to be, I think, one of the major changes we see in the electrical industry and the electric markets as we start to have consumers. Once again, we're always looking for data and playing with data on our phone. We're going to start to look at what the cost of energy is at a specific given time and how we can impact that. The other major game changer that I think is out there is storage. So, you know, will the price of battery storage follow similar trends that we saw and, you know, with the PV solar cells and semiconductor?
That's photovoltaic power, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I was listening earlier.
Okay.
So just real quick as we wrap up, Dale, a little bit of a commercial for Ohio Farm Bureau. Besides folks like you being able to offer energy advice, a big thing that we do for our members is when there are policy implications, when we need government on our side, that's what Farm Bureau does for our members. We're at the State House. We're at the
State
House.
We're at the Utility Commission. We're at a number of particular places. We do energy briefings for our members on everything from oil and gas to pipelines, transmission, leases, easements, big megawatt stuff, on-site generation. We have programs for each.
We want to thank all of you for being with us here today. Jim Miller, Consumer Programs Coordinator, AEP. Eric Romick, Extension Field Specialist with OSU Extension. Dale Arnold of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Thanks to everybody for tuning us in today on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.